Do you struggle with your body weight? Are you in denial about your body weight? Social prejudice against fat people is one of the remaining discriminations allowed in society. We probably won't be able to change this in our lifetime, but you can stop yourself from being a victim of this prejudice and a victim of your own body. There are various means, ways and means to deal with your issues of weight, whether healing from overweight or struggling from underweight as well. In African culture, it is often purported that obese people are seen as happier than their skinny counterparts and also more prosperous as well. And men are encouraged to grow bellies because it is a sign of being rich or rather living an affluent lifestyle. While in Western culture, a healthy lifestyle is associated with a skinny body. So I'd love to hear what your thoughts are around your own personal body image and also how you view yourself in this regard. Joining us in the studio is Paola Galvao. She's a registered pharmacist and also runs Eden Life Wellness Clinic, and she's joining us to chat about this topic, as well as Lila Brooke. Lila Brooke will join us a little bit later on. She's a registered dietitian, just to give us her perspective as well around some of the issues that we discuss, and also to give her a chance to bring another perspective to the conversation as well. Paola, welcome.
Thank you very much, Kate.
Yes, you know, when this morning, just I didn't enlighten the listeners about this. This morning, I attended an event that you hosted, and the host of the event was PJ Powers, that then invited her friends in the media space and asked us to come through and just talk about this issue of weight loss, etc., and just to hear what you had to say as well. And I found that very interesting and a very enlightening topic, particularly because the statistics of our body weight issues are very concerning.
Very concerning indeed. And South Africa is definitely facing an epidemic as far as obesity is concerned. In South Africa at the moment, 30% of our men are obese, 20% of our children are obese, and 50% of women are obese. And the statistics at the moment are that 90% of South Africans go on diet every year, and 95% of them reach in the first 2 years after having gone on diet. Mm. And a fascinating statistic that I came across this afternoon is that 25% of girls under the age of 7 go on diet. 25% of girls under the age of 7 go on diet because they're unhappy with their body image. And that's a frightening statistic. How a 7-year-old can already perceive her body image as not acceptable.
It is a very, very disturbing statistic. I have a skinny 7-year-old son who often looks at me and says, "Mommy, am I fat?" Mm-hmm. Just for that question, I was shocked the first time he asked it. And I was shocked at the fact that he would even think of his body image at such a young age.
Such a young age. And in fact, the interesting thing is that your research done at the University of Cambridge shows that boys will tend to go through phases where they'll notice their bodies, but won't really be unhappy with their bodies until adolescence. So they'll go through short phases of being unhappy with their bodies. But in general, men are generally very happy with their bodies. Even if a fat man will look at his body image in the mirror, he'll find himself attractive. Whereas the woman generally will look
at
him.
I'm trying not to laugh.
You know, I know very few men that will look at themselves and find themselves unattractive.
I'm a stud, look at me.
Yeah, I'm a stud, absolutely.
Yes.
Gorgeous fan am I. But women will look at their body image, and the majority of them will see themselves as bigger than they actually are.
Mm.
And a lot of that is dependent on what they've eaten the meal before. So if a woman has a poor lunch, for example, eats a chocolate bar and then goes and looks at herself in the mirror, she'll actually see herself a good few centimeters on either side as wider than she actually is, which is fascinating.
Yes, one thing that struck me and struck a chord with me when I was listening to you chat and speak to these women that were at this event chatting about people who are overweight, the way they struggle with their weight issues, and the way society also looks at them, looks down on them because they are overweight. And now I have decided as a human being that I need to examine my own attitudes as well about people who are overweight, because people are overweight for various reasons. Oftentimes when we comment about people, we forget that.
Yes.
And Ian Crew and I, for example, always talk about the parliamentarians who are grossly obese. in many instances and make a joke about it and laugh without actually sparing too much thought as to how they got that way and what issues the individuals are struggling with. So personally, I was touched by listening to you and also wanted to bring it up on the radio show because I know that I'm not alone in my attitudes that I have and I know that one of the reasons, you know, a lot of the time when we, if I ever say anything discriminatory on air, people have an opportunity to complain either to station management or to complain to the BCCSA, for example. I've never heard of anybody complaining to the BCCSA about any anchor on any radio station. And this is something that I hear all the time. I hear it on TV as well. Correct. People making jokes about people who are fat.
Especially parliamentarians.
Exactly. Now, I've never heard a BCCSA complaint about it. Yet we hear complaints about people who are racist. We hear complaints about people who discriminate against people because of their sexual orientation and many other complaints, different various complaints that come through, people who swear and that kind of thing. But that is not something that is picked up. And this is accepted in society that it's okay to make fun of people because of how they look due to their obesity.
And very often, Kay, it's because we just don't understand what the questions are. I mean, obesity is a biochemical imbalance, just like having high blood pressure is. So whether you're obese because you have insulin resistance, leptin resistance, or hormonal imbalance, some neurotransmitter that's causing an imbalance, or whether it's a psychological problem, and even if it is a psychological problem, there are reasons, biochemical reasons for that psychological problem. One needs to understand that that is an imbalance, and that imbalance can be treated. Once you treat the imbalance, you treat the problem. And particularly with our parliamentarians, we really very often take a tongue-in-cheek look without realizing the stress that they're subjected to.
Lack of sleep,
especially. I mean, just picking up on that lack of sleep, you know,
it's because they can't sleep at night due to the things they do to us. No, I'm just kidding.
And due to the speeding and going at 182 on the highway.
We're going off on a tangent. But back to this.
Anyway, so your lack of sleep, but now just coming back to that lack of sleep, okay. So lack of sleep causes the ghrelin to go up. Now that's a neurotransmitter in your brain. When the ghrelin goes up, your appetite increases. I likened it this morning to a night nurse. You often don't see, and I'm sure there's lots of night nurses listening now.
Of course. It's nice at night, and they have the radio in the background.
That's it. So, they don't sleep, their ghrelin goes up, and that causes their appetite to increase, and it also causes their metabolic rate to go down, and that is a typical recipe for fat storage.
And that's why a lot of them are overweight.
Exactly. The other thing that happens when you don't sleep is there's a very powerful neurotransmitter called neuropeptide Y. When this neurotransmitter was fed to lab mice, these lab mice just ate and ate and ate until they burst.
Wow.
Terrible things that we do to lab mice, but these lab mice just burst. And so that is
so crazy.
No, and what I find, one of the most horrendous studies I came across in the New England Medical Journal, and it's one of the latest studies that was concluded last year, okay, and I found this really particularly bad, and it was quite a huge study. It was done on 22,000 people. They actually monitored the biochemical imbalances that would happen to people when they viewed obese people. And what a particular doctor found that was heading up this research is there was actually a whole immune reaction that would take place when certain people viewed obese people.
Indeed.
They would view them as if they were seeing a virus. So there was this whole immune reaction. They would get nauseated. And so then if we bring that back to some interesting studies that have been done by Berg and Mendelsohn, and I'll just read some of the conclusions. He says, notwithstanding comparable scholastic performance, obese students are not accepted at prestigious universities as often as their normal counterparts. That conclusion just blew me away. As often as their normal counterparts. So obese people are not normal. They're considered to be stupid. It's absurd. And having been obese myself, I was a fat child, a fat teenager, became a fat adult, and then lost 50 kilos. Having walked
and managed to keep it off for many years.
And managed to keep it off for 17 years. I certainly wasn't stupid. I mean, I was I got all my distinctions in matric. I was head girl, academic colors, graduated from pharmacy with national honors, received many awards as a pharmacist. So, I mean, I certainly wasn't stupid. So, I mean, this study blew me away.
Mm.
You know, someone who looked, and yet, as a pharmacist, down from many a position because of my weight.
Because of your body weight. You
absolutely.
Know, I was with Lee Benny earlier today as well, listening to you talk, and both of us were completely gobsmacked at the level of discrimination that is showed against people who are big, and also re-examining our own personal issues as well around this. Let's invite Lila Brooke to join us in this discussion. She's a registered dietitian, and I'm sure she has a lot to say around this issue of obesity as well. Good evening to you, Lila.
Yes, thank you, Kay.
Thanks for joining us. Now, South Africa is a fat nation.
Yes, it's
you know, yeah, you know, as was said earlier by Paula, that we have 30% of men who are obese, 20% of kids, and 50% of women. I'm sure in the course of your business, a lot of people come through and ask for advice as to what they can do different around their diet.
Yes, certainly that is the case. And what I also want to mention, as I said earlier, I agree that, you know, our statistics are increasing dramatically in terms of obesity. And in fact, unfortunately, it's one of the only things that South Africa has caught up to the States with in terms of obesity statistics. And what is quite interesting is that I did some research in terms of body image in 8 to 9 year old girls in Johannesburg specifically. And Paula was saying earlier, in terms of that, I think she said 25% of 7 year olds want to lose weight or have tried to lose weight. And what I actually found was in the 8 and 9 year olds, that over 50% of them wanted to be thinner and had already tried to lose weight. So quite a startling statistic, and especially when one considers that most of those girls weren't actually even overweight.
Mm.
So definitely a problem that's starting very young and that we need to address as young as possible.
Yes, oftentimes a lot of people, as we mentioned earlier, who are not overweight, feel overweight.
Yes.
I'm sure you come across that.
Yes, that is definitely, that comes down to so many factors, as you were both discussing earlier, in terms of, you know, body satisfaction, body image perception. There's media influences, there's cultural influences, there's so many factors that affect how we perceive ourselves and how we feel others perceive us. And it's so hard to pinpoint specifically what causes that, but certainly there are so many various factors that do play a role.
Mm. And what interventions have you do you put in place for people who come through to you to say, look, I'd like to change the way that I eat, and this is why? I mean, obviously people go to a dietitian for different reasons, whether it's overweight or just because they live a lifestyle that that lends itself to having to consider how they eat and at what time and what point they eat the various foods that they do eat. But with obese people specifically, Lila, how do you usually deal with them?
Well, the key is an overall lifestyle change. Obviously, one can't just address just the eating. So, for example, I always recommend that if someone isn't able to do so, because one's got to have all the factors in place. You can't just be eating healthy and not exercising and vice versa. So I will make sure that whoever I do see, that they've got those aspects in place. And then rather than focusing on a very restrictive or very extreme eating plan, I always try to make moderate, reasonable, sustainable changes that they can actually live with. Because there's no point in doing anything restrictive which you can't give the weight off from.
Mm.
So you need to make sure that whatever sort of strategy you use, that you actually can maintain that weight loss in the long run.
Mm.
So it's to make sure that it's something they feel they can live with, that it's an easy plan that fits into their lifestyle. For example, if they're very busy, not something that requires hours and hours of preparation, because that's obviously not practical. And something that they feel they can do today, tomorrow, and the next 20 years, not just something that will last for the next few months.
Yes, indeed. And what about cravings? How do you deal with that? Because nobody craves a carrot stick.
Of course not, unfortunately. So quite very multifactorial once again, what causes them. Very often it's habit. So it's just a case of, for example, you feel like popcorn when you go to the movies because you associate the movies with popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
So those sorts of issues do come in. Then also can very often be emotional. So, for example, a lot of people find that they crave creamy, sweet, rich things when they feel very down or depressed. So they may crave ice cream, for example, whereas maybe when they feel very anxious or very stressed or very frustrated, they'll crave crunchy things like chips.
Yeah.
So it's to also become aware of when one feels those cravings and then be able to put in place why. So a good strategy in that case is to keep a food diary. also record what time you've eaten, what you've eaten at that time, and any emotions you felt. And then hopefully patterns will emerge and one can address those specific patterns.
Lila, just coming back to exercises and exercising, do you recommend that all your clients exercise in time?
Well, I do recommend that everyone does exercise, but obviously the extent to which that's possible will depend on the person. So within reason, everyone can do something, but not everybody needs to do the Argus, for example, in order to get a good workout or in order to feel that exercise. So obviously the exercise needs to be practical and needs to be appropriate for their level of fitness and for their time and for what they enjoy. So they don't have to do something that they don't like simply to lose weight. It's about finding something that they enjoy so it can be sustained.
Okay.
So if they want to walk the dog or go for a swim or dance, whatever it may be, as long as it's something that they can sustain. So yes, as a general rule, I would always recommend exercise, except in those situations where they have some sort of reason or medical condition that precludes it.
Or laziness generally as well.
Yeah, laziness I don't consider a medical condition.
Yeah, I suffer from that. So you're telling me it's not a medical condition.
Sorry.
Tell me, Lila, when, you say that you try to encourage diets that obviously are tailored to suit one's lifestyle,
yes,
and to try and not have to change your life drastically just,
yes,
because you're following a specific diet so that you can still go out for dinner with friends,
sure,
you can still go to functions and eat food. Is it about picking which foods?
Well, it's about being practical and about being putting things in perspective. So if you go out for a meal, for example, to not go, oh, well, I'm out for dinner, so now I can eat whatever I want, and I might as well have chips with that, and I might as well just go completely overboard. It's about going, okay, this is a lifestyle. That means that every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, this is something that I'm doing for life.
But Lila, what about the person who doesn't know about practical and they have never experienced control and who just has no control in that area? I mean, what about the person who has self-control in every other area of their life and just doesn't understand what it is to have the ability to say no to the chips? What about that kind of person?
I agree that that obviously does get a bit complicated, and you do get that sort of personality type that does have a difficulty with being able to define those boundaries. And I think that's where a multidisciplinary approach comes in, that ideally in that sort of situation, such a person should be ideally seeing a dietitian, seeing a personal trainer, and seeing a psychologist as well, to address any sort of deep-rooted issues which may cause that. Because very often those sorts of people may have difficulties with control in other areas of their life as well.
Very, very concerning. Now, what about alcohol, Lila? Obviously, a lot of people associate alcohol with a good time, and but we do know that there are certain types of alcohol that might assist in piling up the body weight,
yes,
on people. I have a good friend, for example, who's now only taken to drinking whiskey.
Yes.
A female friend.
Yeah, well, whiskey and wine generally are whiskey spirits and wine would be the lowest calorie options. But certainly things like spirit coolers, so those fruity alcoholic drinks, liqueurs, those will definitely, unfortunately, give you a lot of sugar and quite a lot of fat in the case of the liqueurs.
How about beer?
Beer? It depends. It depends on how much you're having. If you're sticking to a light beer and you keep your quantity down, then that's a bit better. But if you're having quite a lot of it, and because some people will drink beer like a cool drink, you land up then the calories piling up once again. So if one's sticking to more the spirits, the wines, generally that's better, but still there needs to be moderation. So no more than 2 drinks at a time or 2 drinks per day, which I know a lot of people right now are scowling into their radios about.
Absolutely. Lila, just before I let you go, I have a question here, or a question via our SMS line. Somebody says, I'm a teenager with 2 good friends with eating disorders. I'm a thin girl with a fast metabolism. Did I bring their disorder once talked about my weight?
I think it's very important for her to not blame herself, because no one can necessarily cause an eating disorder. There's got to be some seed of it placed there to start. And it's important for her to not blame herself. If those girls were going to develop an eating disorder, it would have probably happened regardless. Obviously, it's important to be sensitive and maybe for her to not discuss it too much in their presence. But the best thing that she can do is really be supportive and support any efforts that they are taking to get better. And if they're not necessarily in a recovery situation at the moment, to encourage them to do so. But but I definitely don't think she caused it. There's also eating disorders. It's not always about weight. Sometimes it's about control, for example.
Indeed.
Sometimes it's just associated with more of a perfectionist tendency. It's not necessarily about being thin, although it might manifest that way. So from that point of view, also, she definitely shouldn't blame herself.
Lila Brooke, thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you so much, Kay.
You have a great evening.
Thank you, you too.